Jesus wept. Probably does not come as much of a surprise to find out that this is actually the shortest verse in all of sacred scripture. Jesus wept. And if in today's gospel, in a very beautiful and powerful way, we see the divinity of Christ revealed in the way that he conquers death. He shows his authority over death by calling Lazarus out from the grave. We also, in a very beautiful and intimate way, see his humanity revealed in those two simple words. Jesus wept. I think, actually, this answers the question of Martha, and we don't hear it in the shorter form of the gospel, but also Mary. The question that has echoed through time and generations throughout the centuries. The question that Christians and Jews and even those who do not believe in God have asked over and over and over again. Where is God when evil happens? Where is God? Lord, if you had been here, this would not have happened. How many times has that cry echoed through all the years of human history? How many times in our own lives have we said that or wanted to say that? If you had been here, this injustice would not have happened. If you had been here, this tragedy would not have happened. Lord, you knew. Why didn't you come? Where were you? Because if you had been here, this would not have happened. My brother would not have died. Over and over and again in our own lives and throughout human history, this has been repeated. And the answer to that question is in that short verse, in those two words. Jesus wept. Maybe it really is that simple. We say, where is God when these things happen? Where is God when tragedy strikes? Where is God when injustice takes place? Where is God when the righteous are persecuted? God is weeping. Where is God? Where is Jesus? He is standing beside Mary and Martha before the tomb that holds the remains of their brother, and he is weeping. God weeps for us and with us. God suffers for us and with us. Friends, that is who Jesus is. That is the God that we have received in Jesus Christ. Not the God who, you know, kind of like something out of a fiction novel will just snap his fingers and solve everything immediately. That's the God of the comic books. I mean, we might call him Superman. That's not who Jesus was. Jesus is the God who suffers with us, the God who suffers for us. The God who weeps in front of the tomb of his own friend, even though he knows how the story is going to end. And then, in a few weeks, Jesus is the God who will himself die on the cross and let himself be put in a tomb and have a stone rolled in front of the entrance. That is the God that we worship. The God who loves us enough to be there beside us, to walk beside us in those moments. And this is why the exchange between Martha and Jesus towards the beginning of our gospel is so important. This is the same Martha and Mary, by the way, that we heard from earlier this liturgical year. That great, wonderful exchange there over at Lazarus's house, and Martha's bustling around trying to get dinner ready, And Mary decides that she wants to go and sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. Same Mary and Martha, same Lazarus. This is also, we find out from reading other parts of Scripture, the same Mary, Mary Magdalene, who shows up uninvited to another dinner party and washes the feet of Jesus with her tears and anoints them with perfume. And it's the same Mary who's going to be in front of the tomb on Easter Sunday, who's going to see our Lord risen. And we give Martha a hard time, I think, sometimes, because we always like to remember that first story where Jesus kind of gently chides her and says, Martha, you're worried about too many things. And that's usually how we remember Martha. We ought to remember Martha from what she says today, because today she gives one of the most beautiful expressions of faith in all of Scripture, one that you could argue rivals the profession of faith that Peter gives, perhaps even exceeds it or surpasses it, because hers came from a point of great sorrow and grief. But what such wonderful faith that Martha has in this moment of darkness, to still see through all of this the light of Christ shining forth, to still be able to recognize who Jesus is in the midst of what is surely the darkest time of her life so far. And Martha keeps believing. But her whole thing, her whole prayer, and let's not forget that prayer itself, remember, is a dialogue with God. It's speaking to and listening to God. So the fact that Martha here is speaking to God, he's speaking to Jesus, that is prayer. It is no less prayer than when you and I fall on our knees. And so in her prayer today, a few very special things happen. First of all, that opening salvo. Again, that line that I said gets repeated over and over again in our own lives and throughout history. If you had been here, this never would have happened. That's about as accusatory as you can get while still remaining somewhat friendly. And that's how she opens. I think we're supposed to learn something from that. I think one of the things that we need to take from that is to not hide what we're really going through from God. To not be afraid to let God know what's really on our hearts, what's really troubling us and bothering us. Parents, if you will. I'm sure it's happened to most or all of you at some point when you see your child maybe after a day at school, and from about 3.5 miles away, you can see it written all over the child's face that they just had the worst day in the history of fourth grade. And you might even know why that happened. Maybe you already got a phone call from the school. Maybe one of the neighbor parents saw something and let you know. I found out the hard way that usually my parents already knew what was going on. But from a mile and a half, three and a half miles away, it's written all over the kid's face, worst day ever. What do you say, parents? Oh, how was your day? Fine. Did anything happen? No. Why did you ask? Why did you ask? You knew what had happened. You knew what kind of day was your child was having. So why did you bother? Wait, why did you waste your breath asking? Because you wanted it to hear it from them. You wanted them to know that they could always come to you with everything. You want them to know how much they can trust you and how much you love them. And that they can come to you literally with anything and you will not be angry at them. You will always love them. And so you ask, how was your day? What happened? Even though you already know the answer. And you might even have to keep pulling on that string a little bit when your answers are fine and nothing. And yet, as God's children, we do the same thing in our prayer, don't we? When the roles are flipped. Hey, David, how was your day? Fine. Oh, really? Did anything happen at St. Michael's today? No. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? What we can learn, one of the great things we can learn from Martha today is to never be afraid of coming to God with those things that are burdening us the most. To not even worry about being perhaps even a little accusatory. Lord, I am having the worst day ever, and I'm pretty sure it's your fault. But to be honest, to let him know where we really are, what we're really going through, to not be afraid to really wear that and let him see that, to expose that part of our heart to him. He knows anyway, but he's always going to ask because he wants us to know that we can come to him. But then look at how her prayer continues, and I think this is very important. Because she doesn't say, how is your day? Oh, it's fine. She says, Jesus, this is terrible. You knew what was happening and you didn't do anything. Where were you? But you see what she says next? Did you notice that? But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Even now, I know that somehow, even though I can't make any sense of this, somehow, Lord, you can make something good and beautiful come out of this situation. Wow. What great faith Martha had. Why don't we remember this about her? This great faith that she had. Even now, Lord, I believe that you can make something good and beautiful come from this situation. God will give you whatever you ask. And then when Jesus challenges her, he says, well, do you really believe me? Do you believe in me, really? And she says, yes, I've come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. We might say in our own situations, yes, Lord, I know that you are always with me. I know that you are who you say you said you were, and that you love me very much. But the last bit of this prayer, I think this is, again, the way to kind of, is actually we get from Christ himself. It's the first thing that Jesus says when he begins to pray. He says, Father, I thank you for hearing me. And we might say in a sense like this sort of closes the prayer of Martha. We didn't hear her in the shorter form, but also Mary. But this closes their prayer. The giving thanks, even in the midst of great sorrow. Jesus is weeping. He is weeping because his friend has died. And as he is weeping, he says, Father, thank you for hearing me. And so you and I are also called to be thankful, even in the most impossible situations. Not because God is going to snap his fingers and magically fix everything, but because he is still there for us. Because he still hears us. Because he has not abandoned us. And because in those moments we can be sure, we can be certain that Jesus himself is weeping beside us. That's very challenging. I will be honest, I am not good at this. Oh, I'm good at the complaining part that we covered at the beginning. I'm really good at that. Lord, why must I hit 14 consecutive red lights as I'm trying to go visit this person who needs me to visit them? I'm trying to do your work. Could you please help me out here? I'm very good at the complaining part. The thankfulness and the suffering, that's much harder. The remembering that God is still there beside me, that's much harder. But this is the invitation we are receiving today. This is what we see in the prayer of Martha, in her faith. The belief that something good and beautiful and wonderful can come out of what can only be described as a terrible situation and a great tragedy. But this is what it means to be a Christian. This is what it means to have faith in Christ. To remember, to know that he's not going to just immediately make everything better, but that he has promised that he will never leave us. And so in those moments, to pray for the great faith that we need, to echo Martha's prayer, to thank God for being with us in those moments, and to every single day, with Martha, say to Jesus that I have come to believe, Lord, that you are the Son of God, that you are the one who has come into the world to save me from my sins.